The following show is intended for a mature audience.
Nope, not for the kids.
So if you're underage...
Go to bed!
Easily offended...
Get over yourself!
Or you got a gigantic stick up your... You might want to go do some needlepoint or something.
It's the Jethel Silverwing Show on online gaming radio!
It's time to kick your feet up, tune in and waste some time. You're gonna waste 2 hours on Jethel Show tonight.
Hey there, dwarf!
Hey, Jesus!
It's like a tragic tale, all the crazy things he makes us
do. I'm just glad I got my ale. Get started! Back off! I got it in a tongue, I'm not the feet to use it!
Well, it's time to get it started on the most sensational, entertainical,
rhythmical, practical. This is what we call Jethel Silverwing Show!
Oh, we're gonna get sued by the ghost of Jim Henson, I know it!
Hello there, everyone, this is the Jethel Silverwing Show for the 24th of January, 2012. I am your host, Jethel Silverwing. With me, as always, my love, my girl, the Burning Maloney, the Tailor of Fine Armors, the decorator of dungeons, and the reason we have a mature audience warning at the top of the show, Ugly Jada!
Hailing greetings, and yes, I have a cat in my shirt this week.
If you'd like to join in on the mayhem, you can log on to the in-game chat channel, which is OGR on the Antonia Bale server. That's up and running 24-7, where the OGR elite come to meet. If you'd like to download any of our skits, interviews, Jethel's parodies, Elkin's videos, get all of our social links, and much, much more, you can find them at kithacore.org. How are we doing today, Elkin?
Doing okay.
Doing all right?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to start tonight's show by talking about an incident so vile, so heinous, so infuriating that it caused us to not have a show last week. I want to talk about my personal experience with the Freeport questline, the new Freeport questline.
Only one part of it, I would say.
One and a half parts.
Yeah, but you got through that.
Yeah, one and a half parts. So I'm just going to play this one more time, just so people understand what's going to be happening here.
The following show is intended for a mature audience.
Nope, not for the kids.
So if you're underage...
Go to bed!
Easily offended...
Get over yourself!
Or you got a gigantic stick up your... Might want to go do some needlepoint or something!
Okay, so we're all clear that we have a mature audience warning at the top of the show?
In other words, he's going to cuss.
Fuck you, Freeport!
Oh, God.
Fuck you! Fuck your boat! Fuck your wraith guards! Take your damn snooty armor, shove it up your ass!
And the pirate hat.
And your pirate hat! And your damn Leviathan tentacle cracking thing! Screw you!
Are we feeling better now?
Not quite. I'm almost there.
Okay.
Let's talk about the 30 goddamn attempts to do this quest. 30! On number 29, I came down and talked to you, and you're like, oh, maybe if you did this. And I went back upstairs, and I died for the 30th fucking time! Ow!
Are you channeling Sam Kinison?
Well, if I was channeling Sam, give it that talk, really, Jeff, and I'm going to... Oh, oh! Thirty attempts! And then, to make matters worse, I understand.
God.
Ladies and gentlemen, I understand very much that you were trying to help.
Yes.
You were trying to be helpful by sending me emails and private Facebook messages saying, oh, it's not that bad. I did it in my first attempt. Fuck you!
Why'd you take that? The straw that broke the camel's back is when I said, well, I'll do it for you.
You ain't doing shit for me. You doing it is not the point. I started the Gentle Silverwing Show almost 5 years ago. I started with rants, swearing, but you know, I always had something positive at the end. How can you make this better? We call it constructive criticism. How can you make this better? I have a suggestion.
Oh, no.
I suggest you take that Kraken octopus sea monster thing and shove it right up your ass! Three days! I tried to get through that betrayal on the boat crap. Actually, why am I bothering to censor myself now?
I don't know.
I have never in my life in this game felt such adulation, such a weight lifted off my shoulders was after the 30th death. I rezzed myself, I revived. I went to my local residential counselor. I'm not sure exactly what they're called. But the residential counselor, he said to me, blah, 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 blah. I said, fuck you, I want out of the city. He said, are you sure? I mean, there are many opportunities. I said, fuck you, fuck your city, fuck your Wraith Guards, fuck your goddamn Kraken, shove it up your ass, I want out! Bring me to Kinos! I didn't even make any attempts to hide any of it. I went around flipping off guards as I was doing the betrayal quest. Hi, guard, how are you? Fuck you! See this arrow? I'm gonna shut up your ass in a minute! And then, of course, the NPCs in Freeport are always very helpful. Don't you ever go treat a hug? How about if I reach down your throat and pull your lungs out? I like that, Thessalon on the Antonio Bell server. Freeport, the city of rage. And, yeah, as you can hear in the background, the dog agrees with me. Harry's barking up a storm. God damn it, leave the man alone! And, yeah. So, you know.
At least he's not cowering underneath, like, underneath my desk.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you right now just how angry this this thing made me. I went downstairs. It was after, like, my 20th attempt. I went downstairs. I expressed to Elquin very, very point-blankly, I need out of this fucking house. I got on my coat. I proceeded to not find my keys, which, oh! Made me so much better! Couldn't find couldn't find my keys, so I couldn't go driving.
We hid them.
And I have to say for the record, and if you talk to my mother at any point, she will tell you what I need to do when I am angry is I need to get away from people. Because if I'm around people while I'm stewing, while I'm angry, and I'm not working off the frustration by walking or driving or whatever, I will hit somebody. And I don't want to do that. The last time I hit someone, I put them in the hospital. It was when I was a kid. So ever since then, I've had to find other ways to channel my rage, and that's by walking. And I think that's a much better solution. So, I slammed the door of the house. I'm out. And on my way out, we have an arbor. For those of you who don't know what an arbor is, it is an archway which leads into the yard. Some people have them in their gardens, blah, blah, blah. But we had a wooden archway. I say had, because it's not there anymore. I walked under the archway, reached up, and I completely demolished the thing with one punch. It is in a million pieces in the backyard right now. But in the process, I did manage to cut my wrist and got a really nice gash in my on my arm, which is healing nicely, by the way.
And he owes me a new arbor.
Well, I was going to get you a new one anyway. When we paint the fence this this summer, because the arbor was kind of dry rotted and really couldn't be repaired anymore with nails because it'd go right through the wood, I was going to get you a new one anyway. But that's not the point. I destroyed your arbor, and I'm sorry. I apologized. I'm very sorry for that. But it got in my way. I bumped into it. Sorry. Arbor had to go. But yeah, I walked a total of 4 miles. I went bowling. I bowled until I couldn't pick up the 15-pound ball anymore. When I dropped the ball, that's when I stopped bowling. So, then I walked the miles home, took some nice pictures on the way with my phone, then I dropped my phone. Didn't make me happy at all. But I came home, and you got to admit, I was much calmer. I attempted the things again. You gave me some tips. I attempted them again. Didn't work. Not in the least. Getting the Wraith Guard to catch on fire? No problem. That's no problem. Getting that friggin' Kraken to pick him up! And eat him! There's the problem.
Maybe he was full.
Kraken kissed my ass, is what I'm saying. So, I'm saying I'm pissed off. I am not going to complete this quest. I refuse. And, I'm telling you right now, if I had someone from Sony here right now, if I had someone from Sony that I could bitch and complain to and can show my rage, I would... Wait a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us this evening is someone from Sony Online Entertainment, Director of Global Community Relations for Sony Online Entertainment, Linda Brass Carlson.
Good to see you again, Jeffel.
Hi.
Let me just say that I can hear you yelling all the way from frickin' San Diego, man.
He gets loud.
You violated so many municipal sound bylaws now that the cops are roaming the streets looking for you. I'll give you that warning. I've got a few things to say to you here.
Okay.
First of all, you know Freeport's evil, right?
Well, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And you wander in there, wanting to do the betrayal quest, and what are you? A pansy elfink.
Hey,
you're a pansy elfink ranger. What do rangers do? Come on, Elquin, what do they do?
Shoot arrows.
I think she's referring to the dying part.
I try not to think that.
So, you know, that's working as intended, man. No. It is interesting that, now, I think you should try to do it one more time because apparently I've been fixed. No, I dare ya. A double dog dare ya with sugar on top.
I'm sorry, I missed that. What'd you say?
I said a double dog dare ya with sugar on top to try the quest again.
Why would I do that?
Because the dev team maintains that everything's fixed now.
Really?
I think they were scared to death. No, actually, it was because I saw the internal emails going around because, you know, people do pay attention to what you say. We pay attention to what everybody says. It's a matter of finding the time to address various issues. And, you know, seeing as everybody else could complete this quest except you, and you're like 0.00000001% of the population, it took a bit. That's what I'll say. No. It's a... They did take it quite seriously, and apparently it's all fixed, according to the email that Emily Taylor forwarded around today, too. So, yeah.
Okay, so what you're saying is, this quest was fixed so that if anyone under the name of Jethel logged in, screw him.
Well, true. We have specially flagged the NPCs to one-shot you.
Gotcha.
Now, you know, giving him
see how it
his
is.
Dues, I did it a couple. I had to do it a couple times. If you engage the Wrathgar a guard too long, okay, you will die. And it's not easy to tell when he's on fire. You have to watch the text. Okay, he's on fire even though I don't see it. And then trying to figure out what part of the boat to run on. I mean, I just lucked out. I ran to the bow of the boat where the eyeball, where the head was. And I was up there praying that the monster would eat him.
Okay.
In the meantime, my health's going down. And then I still have to contend with the tentacles.
All right, allow me to clarify.
I did it by the skin of my teeth, basically, in the end.
Allow me to clarify. I did get the Wraith Guard eaten once. It was like the third attempt. Third.
Yeah, but your health was so low by that time.
Right. By the time I was able, by the time I got him eaten, my health was too low to handle the Kraken or whatever the hell he is. But then, you know, 20,
I had trouble targeting the tentacles.
27 other attempts, I couldn't get him to get eaten.
Yeah, it gets a little glitchy. I noticed that the second time I ran it, I could see him catching on fire.
I had no problem getting him caught on fire. No problem at all.
You know you lot, if you did like normal people would do and, you know, be building your dungeons and running them in Dungeon Maker, you wouldn't be in this mess, would you?
Well, I've been running Elkin's Dungeons, actually.
It's great fun, isn't it?
I wanted the pirate hat, I wanted to meet Lucan.
Oh, aye. And from what I hear, like I say, the stuff has been fixed, so, you know, maybe your yelling did some good besides destroying me eardrums.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I thought it was an excellent quest line. It's a very long quest line, but
if you look at it,
it's supposed to span your whole leveling career from level 20, starting at level 20 out in the Common Lands. There's a public quest to do, and you can only do that if you're level 20, if I understand that right. And then as you progress up through your levels, more quests will open up to you within the city to do for the buccaneers and the militia and the Wraith Guard guy. And then there's the storyline with the guy that ends up being turned into a Wraith Guard.
Wait, not too many spoilers here.
Oh,
I haven't run these myself yet.
I got
my little ratty bunga that wants to do all that.
I will.
And I have heard that the storyline is pretty good. And
it is. It's a very good storyline.
I like the storyline up until then.
Oh, yeah. He was having a blast.
Here's the deal. Hire your arse down to the Southern California region of the United States of America. I'll put you up at the Scruffy Farm. You can sleep out with the goats where I know you'll be comfortable. And we'll bring you down to the studio. We'll tour you around, and I'll put you in direct contact with all the devs that worked on it. And you can challenge them to a wrestling match.
They're going to frisk me for weapons after this show. I know they will. I do want to address a couple of questions that came up in the chat channel here. Clorny wants to know, are there any sabotage quests for Kenosians in Freeport? The ones that are available that I know of are part of the Betrayal quest, coming back to Kenos. And those do work now. They were broken, which really, really made my day.
You really feel, Jekyll.
It's like, okay, I'm trying to go back to Kenos. I'm going back to Kenos. Screw you, Freeport. The quests aren't updating!
And all the people in Freeport, they're going, oh, thank the gods he's left finally. It took all our efforts to sabotage him, but he's gone.
I know,
right? Break out the booze.
Oh, brother. Okay, let's see what else we have here in the... comments that the furniture was neat that you got from the quest. Yes, it is.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. But I think the pirate hat is the rulingest thing, man. That is so great. That is the best pirate hat yet.
And it is, I will admit, it is a good cloak, stat-wise. The look may not be for everyone, but the... stat-wise, the cloak was very nice. Of course, I didn't get to it!
You get two cloaks and a chest and the pirate hat.
And Ashani from the Antonio Bale server would like to know if the tentacles actually killed me. Well, the tentacles don't actually attack until you've beaten the Wraith Guard. Well, until you've gotten the Wraith Guard eaten. So, the tentacles killed me that one time I got the Wraith Guard eaten.
I don't know, they were beating on me before. I was being beat on by the Wrath Guard and the tentacles, and I had a problem targeting the tentacles.
I just, when I was doing it, I was just waiting for them to attack me, and they, of course, you auto-target them.
You auto-target them, yeah.
I don't do good with auto-target.
Corel on the Freeport server, yes, I did get your tells, and I'll get to it in a minute. He wanted me to make an announcement. So, yeah, okay. So you want me, you're saying that it's been fixed, and you want me to try it one more time.
I have seen cross me desk, It has been fixed and has been addressed, as a matter of fact, almost immediately after you lost your mind, the fixes went live. So, yes, now I must double dog dare you. Do it again.
All right.
Let me know how it goes, because okay, if you feel
tonight.
It now, then it's you.
Okay, I won't do it tonight, but I because you asked me to, I will do it one more time.
I'll let you know.
Oh, that's a kind lad.
I know
and
the other part that he was...
screenshots, too. I've been really enjoying your screenshots on Facebook. That's terrific.
Oh, yeah, I've been using
that. As a matter
of
fact, the EQ2 monthly business meeting was held today, and I used as the front piece to that your picture of yourself with your froofy wings on way above the Stonebrunt Mountains. I thought that was a tremendous picture.
Yeah, I went up to Stonebrunt, and I'm like, I wonder how high I could get here. And it's pretty damn high, actually. You can almost... reach the Stonebrunt Highlands from the Sundered Frontier. You can almost reach them. I mean, you can get up into those giant roots that are holding the rocks together and stuff. By the way,
Is this another rant coming?
No.
I'm ready for it. Go ahead.
No, not another rant. I'm curious, if no one could get up there, why are there trees in those rocks that no one could possibly ever get to?
That's an interesting thing. I suspect that the guys that are making these zones are just that sort of perfectionist, because I was asking myself the same question as I was flying around on me little scintillating cloud, you know, that we got from Fanfare. And I was up in Tenebris Tangle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can fly around to all those little islands, the little teensy ones with little trees and little bits of roots hanging off them. And I really like that attention to detail. I landed on one of them wee teeny islands and had me picnic lunch and thought, wow, they really put a lot of detail in this for no apparent reason other than maybe one day someone would see this stuff.
Now, I can't remember who was on the show at the time. It may have been Win-Win, I'm not sure. Or it may have been Nathan. But someone was on the show a month ago or so, or something like that. I was actually flying around Tenebris Tangle, I believe it was Tenebris Tangle. And there is an island up there with a dock that goes to nothing.
Just to make you ask questions.
Like, why is it here?
I think Elfin has it right. It's like putting you into a round room and telling you to go pee in the corner.
It's kind of like that snowman at the bottom of the Frostfell instance, or Frostfell Wonderland, that's underwater. Why is it there? Why haven't they fixed it? I've named him Slushy. I'm actually planning on making a Frostfell song next year for Slushy the Snowman. Slushy the Snowman was at the bottom of the lake. Okay, well, we have some... I do want to make a few announcements before we get into other things. I have been ranting now for half an hour.
It's awesome, isn't it?
Feels
you
good.
Got such staying power, man.
I mean, you're the one that recommended this. You're like, why not have the show last week? You missed a perfect rant opportunity.
No, it would have all been fresh in your mind, all that rage. It would have been terrific. And now, you know, you've calmed down a lot,
yeah.
And you're willing to be reasonable. I can't have nearly as much fun with you.
Oh, and yeah, Clorny is correct. That was the Bone Mire that I found that... that island in. It looked like the Temple of Thunder in Lava Storm.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we wonder what's up with that. But yeah,
let's put this in here and we'll put some... Oh, we don't have time to put the rest of the stuff in.
That's entirely possible. It could have been
an
area
that
they didn't
finish.
A lot. Yeah, I would imagine so. So let's see, we do have a few announcements. Karel on the Freeport server... sorry, I screamed a lot today. Karel on the Freeport server would like us to make an announcement here. Let's see. There is a player-run Freeport server event called Pay It Forward. This is our third Pay It Forward event, and we are basically are generous and donating equipment to new players. And this will be taking place on February 4th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
That's neat.
That's right, nice.
So, Pay It Forward, Freeport server... February 4th, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Karel, is there any particular location they need to go to? Let me know while I get my notes up so we have other announcements. We have a slew of birthdays. We've been gone for a week. Oh, it will be on the island of Mara. Island of Mara, February 4th, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Freeport server. Freeport!
Okay. Yeah, easy, hon. Easy.
I know. We do have some birthdays to announce. I have a slew of birthdays to announce here. Some of them, of course, real names. I'm sorry, I don't have your character name if your Facebook page is in your real name. Let's see. Andrew Doran. Nick Hughes. Nick Hughes is a guy I work with. He's actually very cool. He's in a death metal band. How's that, huh? And he looks like it, too. Kurt Schrodinger from Online Gaming Radio's birthday. Adrian Forte. Claire Collins. Jennifer Nock. Member of the Legion of Kithagor, Hoopy.
Yes, Hoopy.
Hoopy. Guide Nino. Nino. Other member of the Legion of Kithagor, Surgeon. His birthday.
Surgeon's birthday?
Yes. Let's see. Don Head. Don Head. Gene Graff. Enuar the Angelic. And her birthday is today. It's Fallen Rain from the Legion of Kithagor. Congratulations, and here.
Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday, happy birthday!
All right, happy birthday, you guys. Brother, happy birthday. You lived another year. Congratulations.
Indeed. Surviving is a real talent.
Yes. And Cheddarbella is reminding me here that Don Head plays Catalia on the Antonia Bell server. I believe the character is in the Maiden's Fancy. At least was. I think there's still. Oh, and Elkin, I did get something. That you asked me to get. Little cheering sound effect?
Yeah!
I got one. How do you like that?
I like it.
Alright, good. So I found one and I tweaked it a little bit to make it ours, and there we go. Alright, what else do I have in my notes? I have notes.
It's good.
Well, see, I made the mistake of listening to EQ Tuesday.
You did?
And I'm like, God, they...
Why was that a mistake?
Like, God, they have notes that make us look cheap.
We are.
Well, we are cheap. Let's see, I have a...
But we're not easy.
But, Jethro, you're known as the Make Shit Up on the Fly podcast.
I am.
Right?
I am indeed.
Well, there you go.
Let's see, we got something here from, God, I'm going to butcher this name. Arlo, I don't know, from Freeport.
Yes, he butchered the name.
Statement to Brass, can you pass this on to your Kinos team? If you get rid of Castleview during the Kinos revamp, my high elf wizard will incinerate your servers.
Gotcha. I don't think those are being gotten rid of. I would suspect that it'll be handled much the same way as the Freeport revamp.
Well, the Freeport suburbs have gone away, haven't they?
Yeah, well, they're there, but nobody can live there.
Well, they're still used. They're not used for living in. For instance, me, Ratty Bunga, she had a quest to go back to Temple Street and do a bunch of stuff. She's halfway through that series right now. But, yeah, they're not going to be for living in no more.
They're contested.
I don't know. I seen some pretty unhappy Rotongas when I was over in Freeport.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They were throwing snowballs at Lucan during one of the executions.
Damn you! You took my temple straight away! I lived there! Boop, boop, boop.
You know, snowballs.
Mm-hmm.
I should have got pictures of that. That was amusing.
Funny stuff.
I'm serious.
He's
up there giving a speech, executing this person, getting pelted with snowballs.
Very nice. I wish you could have seen that. That's awesome.
Ah, me too.
Poor little rat. He was upset.
Okay, let's see here. My notes go like this. Rant about Freeport.
Done.
Done. All right, we can delete that one.
Done to death.
Yes. Let's talk about flight wings.
Oh, aye.
I like these things. I got both of them. I got the Pegasus ones, and I got the Nightmare ones.
I haven't got a set yet. I'm still waiting. I'm thrifty. I'm going to wait till a sale.
Well, a lot of people have been waiting. Well, you're not going to get a sale on them for a while because they're selling really well.
Okay.
You know, that's the way that retail works, you know. Just go ask Sears or, you know, TJ Maxx or anything. But what we have seen is a lot of people requesting different kinds of wings.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, because they go, okay, so you got the white fruity ones and you got the black leathery ones. What else you got?
I know somebody out there wants pink wings.
Well, that would be win-win.
Pink wings. That'd be either a win-win or a Sula for EQ2 interim community manager, and probably dozens more people too. Pink. Good lord.
I love them, but the only thing I can think of is Angels and Demons. I think there should be an Angels and Demons event.
That would actually be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
Well, yes. Wouldn't that just be Paladins versus Shadow Knights?
No, it could be anybody that wears the dark wings against anybody that wears the white wings.
There you go.
That would actually be a really fun thing to do.
Of course, there have been some complaints about the wings, because it's breaking some lore and stuff like that. When did we become, what is that name? What is that game where everyone has wings?
Ion.
So when did we become Ion? I believe True Flight on EQ Tuesday mentioned that.
Well,
pretty ironic with a name like True Flight, don't you think?
Yeah.
Why can't they still roleplay it? I mean, if you have the white wings, you're an angel. If you got the black wings, you're a demon. You went the other direction when you died.
It all depends on exactly what you want to do with the wings. The wings are an enchantment. They could be considered magic. They don't have to be considered permanent.
Whoop, I think we're Brass, are you still with us?
Did we lose her?
I think we're losing
her.
No.
Shouldn't be.
Well, you did break up there.
That's probably because you're cutting me off. I see you there with your finger over the mute button.
Would I do that?
Yes.
I wouldn't do it to Brass.
No, you do it to me.
Would I do that to you?
Yes.
So, in any case, a game is what you make of it, and, I'm not really a dwarf, and I have a tough time growing a beard in real life. It's really time-consuming, but what I do in-game is completely different, so...
I don't want you to have a beard in real life. Different strokes for different folks,
and everybody wants something new and different and fun and stuff to try out. It's all about experimentation, and if people don't want it, they don't have to get it.
I like them. I think they're pretty cool.
I would really hate to see you with a beard in real life.
But you have seen her with a beard in real life.
No, I've seen Brass with a beard in real life, not Linda.
Oh.
That's true. It gets bloody cold in the winter as well.
And I will just state for the record, Linda is a very gorgeous woman.
Yeah, I'll send you your station cash in the morning.
I did not say it for station cash, but I'll accept it.
How he is.
Okay, I do have another quick announcement. Cheddarella has dinged level 60 armorer. So here is your tree skill ding. I hate that sound. That's not a ding, that's a blink.
We'll make a new one. No!
No, that's not it. No, no, no.
Blasting of trumpets and something, and I don't know.
Blasting with trumpets, she says.
Da-da-da-da! You know.
Well, if you want to do that, you can do the guild ding.
No. We'll have to steal the sound effect from Men in Tights.
Men in Tights?
Yeah.
What sound are you talking about?
It's one of the times when he comes to the castle and you hear this da 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 da.
Oh, the little fanfare they do. Okay,
yes.
Talk about now.
Steal the fanfare from Men in Tights.
Actually, I'm going to set something up here because I actually have something that might work for a fanfare. Speaking of fanfare, God, I wish I could go.
But you know, you're going to have quite some time to plan for that.
No, I really have to go back to New Hampshire and see my family.
Oh, family.
I know.
Had one of those once.
Damn those family.
So what are you doing now?
Okay, hold on just a second.
He's fiddling with stuff. Be very afraid.
Oh, let's set it up. So how about this one?
too long, and I feel like I'm going into the Hall of something or other.
Yeah, that's actually the WWE Hall of Fame music. So, all right. So, when is this year's fanfare? I'm being asked. October, isn't it?
You know, we haven't actually announced it yet, but as you'll recall, there was a poll that we did last year proposing a couple of dates, and the highest votes came in October. So a lot of people are guessing October, and I'm not going to dissuade you from guessing October.
Alrighty.
We and should have an announcement out probably the beginning of February.
Alright. And of course, if it is October, which we're, you know, thinking it might be, October, of course, would be cooler. You might actually be able to venture outside.
Maybe. But you know that hot burninating thing in the sky will still be there, ready to smite you and all us other gamers.
I have a cousin, I mean not a cousin, an uncle, in Phoenix. And I went out to visit him once. It was the end of October, and it was 110 degrees.
Crap.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I don't know if anyone's actually been to Phoenix, but Vegas makes... Phoenix makes Vegas look like a tropical rainforest. There is There is nothing in Phoenix. Nothing. Or at least, you know, the 20 years ago when I went to there. There was nothing.
So let me quote Radar X when we moved him from the Tucson studio, Tucson, Arizona, right? Mm-hmm. And we moved him down to the Austin studio. And I remember his reaction when I first went up to see him there, and he goes, trees! There's actual trees!
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Oh, man.
Oh. Yes, definitely. You go from a, well, I mean, notably, Vegas is an oasis. It's a man-made oasis.
Indeed.
So there are plants and palm trees and blah, blah, blah. They're not native to that area. They're definitely not made native to that area. Because you know what's native to that area? Sand.
And lots of it.
Lots of it. And
well, you know, there's a lot of decorators in Vegas, the same as we have in EQ2, right? Everybody's got to have a lot of fun. It's just a much larger zone to fill with stuff.
Mm-hmm. God, it just reminds me of that Sam Kinison rant about sending money to Africa for aid relief. It's like, don't send them food. Send them luggage. We have deserts in America. We just don't live in them. Oh, okay, so let's see here. What else do I have in my notes? You know what we have to do? We have to have you on in another month or so to talk about Brill Day, of course.
Oh, you think I'm going to be able to talk at Brill Day time? No.
You're going to get on the show.
I'm drinking the day before and finish drinking 3 days after. I figure that'll about do it.
As long as you don't drive, because you know around
that
time.
Well, no, that's why I married a ranger.
Yeah,
he's
mean,
good at driving.
Around that time of year, I'll start making my posts, my anti-drinking and driving posts on Facebook, as I always do. And I still contend to this day that all people who, you know, go out and drink and drive need to be shot. And I'm serious about that.
Quite agree.
All right, let's see here. Storm Tower Isle. Have you guys been able to check this out yet?
I haven't had a chance. I've just seen images of it. It looks fantastic.
If you're I'm going to stereotype here, but if you're a wizard or a necromancer, some kind of finger-wiggling kind of guy,
that's right up their alley.
You will love this place! You have your own freaking tower! Or if you're He-Man. Because the tower does kind of look like Castle Grayskull. I'm sorry, I just kind of walked into the place and all I heard was... It was just, wow, all right. Either that or, you know, it's necromancer and wizardy.
I like the fact that the water splashes up against the rocks. You can see that.
Yep.
You can swim in the water.
That's one thing I just thought of. Damn, I didn't see if you can swim in it.
Oh, yeah,
you can
swim in it.
All right, cool.
Yeah, and it's not so deep that you're going to drown.
Can you drown in it?
I didn't try because it's not that deep.
We may
but
have
it's
to
deep
check
enough
that out.
To swim.
I hereby make a motion that we send Jethel to test out whether you can drown there or not.
All right, I'm going. That just came to mind. It's like, can you drown in the water? I will check this out.
Go try.
All right.
But there's plenty of room to build whatever you want. The tower's there. It is a starting base to give
and
you something
if,
to springboard from.
Yeah, if that's not big enough for you, you can always lay out some grassy tiles or something like that. Make some more land. As soon as I get there, I'll see what the item count is for it. Actually, I don't think I can.
I'm certainly really looking forward to seeing what people do with that place.
Oh, definitely. And if you have one, and you're decorating it, you want us to check it out, put it on kithacore.org or mention it on the show, by all means, send me a messaging game or through kithacore.org, and we will definitely check that out. Actually, if you have any kind of house, guild hall, dungeon, whatever, you know, that you want to... that you want us to review here on the show. We will be doing that later on in the second half. We have some notes. Let me see here. Okay, I'm at the thing. We will be talking about dungeons and other people's dungeons and our dungeons on the show. So let's see here. Tor. And I'm looking for... Storm Isle Portal. Okay, got to tour this thing. I want to check this out. Can I die in the water? I'm saying probably not. Because I don't think they do that in house.
I don't know. I heard that you could... Well, that was but breaking out of the Hallis house, but you could drown in that water.
Oh, really?
That's okay. What I've heard.
And from what I understand, from listening to last week's EQ Tuesday show, the only complaint that I've heard about the rain, because it is raining constantly here, is that it comes in the house.
So I didn't notice that, but of course, when it started raining, it doesn't rain all the time. It wasn't raining when I first got there, but when I got down to the beach, it was raining.
Interesting.
Okay. It doesn't seem to be deep enough to allow me to get submerged, so I'm going to just say, no, you can't drown.
But you can swim.
Yes, you can swim.
It's perfect.
I am swimming, but I can't get actually under the water enough, and my breath bar is not coming up either.
No, it's just perfect. Absolutely friggin' perfect.
Interesting.
Let's see how far out from the tower I can actually get. Okay. I'm at the zone border. Now, how far away from the tower am I? Pretty far away. I'm pretty darn far away. Of course, there's no map for this zone yet. I'm sure EQ2 map from EQ2interface.com will probably have a map ready for this thing eventually. I love EQ2 maps. Without it, I'd never find anything.
My question is, I wonder if it's going to have the same problem as the other island.
With the pets? Wandering
yes,
off?
My pets still run off the edge.
They're still doing it.
Do they really?
Yes, you get up there and I can see them. They're all where they're supposed to be when I first put them down. And then all of a sudden, they turn about and head north and they all start migrating to the northern part of my northwest part of my island.
That's weird.
Where they stand at the edge for a couple minutes and promptly jump off.
Ooh.
That is hilarious. I haven't seen that yet. I bought one of the islands as well, but you know, hadn't had a chance to put much on it yet. Ah, the lemming effect.
Nice, all of them. Nice. All of them run off. And I'm not sure where they go. I've tried to put
Do
a teleport pad out there. Well, yeah, I can, you know, see where they've gone.
Yeah, but do they come back up top?
Not until I leave. If I leave and then come back up, if I leave the house and I go back in, majority of the time they'll reset to where I put them, and I can watch them walk across the island again and disappear.
Well, if you want to find out exactly where they're going, all you really need to do is wait till they reach their destination and then save your house
That's
layout.
That's what I've done, and I have those coordinates, but I went out there and I can't find them. And yes, I did mention this when Domino's on the show, but, you know, maybe it's just on the list of things to do.
Oh, you have no idea how long their lists are. It's insane. It's like
it's
the list
probably
long,
insane.
Longer and longer, and then it's time to start working on the next expansion.
Oh, I have received report from Corel on the Freeport server. He is small enough to get submerged, and he says he can drown.
Well,
so if you can't drown, you're not trying hard enough. Is that it?
You're too big.
Jethel too big. He's on the smallest wood elf setting.
Well, this guy's probably really small.
Well, he's a fae.
Well, that's pretty small.
That is really...
Listen, Arduin of Arcane Masters is nothing more than a smidge. He's a gnome, and he's like so little that, I mean, he's got a flying horse, and it looks like a horse fly. Okay, he doesn't ride a flying horse; he rides a horse fly. Hmm. He's little, and he runs around with this little mushroom cap, so he looks like a little itty bitty mushroom.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, he would definitely drown in that fast. I mean, he'd drown in a cup of water. I'm serious.
What is that? Police going by?
Are they coming to get you, Linda?
The sun? Oh no, no, no! They'll never find me. They're still looking for Jethel.
Wait! They're looking for Drunken Dwarf. Dwarf, have you been brewing illegally again? Oh crap!
What do you want?
Been brewing the absence.
Okay, well, go put the lasagna away.
We don't care about your damn Skyrim or whatever you're playing.
Yeah, he's telling me about what he's doing, Skyrim.
I don't mind so much that he tells me about Skyrim, but when he starts talking to me about his World of Warcraft characters, I don't care.
Then it's like, shut up.
Shut up, I don't care. You and your damn World of Warcraft, go to hell!
Well, it was pretty funny when he was playing Skyrim the other night, and we hear him screaming his head off.
Apparently he's done some kind of a quest.
Wow, it must be a dragon.
Well, remember that quest that you can get over in the Kinos Harbor Bank area, and then you'd get attacked randomly.
Yes.
By appropriate level by rats and stuff. Apparently, there's a quest in Skyrim where you start randomly attracting dragons to you.
Oh, well, then he's got that quest because he's off trying to do something. All of a sudden, this big huge dragon lands right in front of him.
Oh, wow.
And nice. He screams like a girl.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that scream that I have Cheez-It do, that's Eric. That's the boy.
Screaming.
I've been using that for Cheez-It scream for years now. But
and he was telling me about, he watched a giant, I guess giants are worse than dragons in Skyrim.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he would rather take on a dragon than a giant. Hmm. And he stood and watched this giant rampage through one town, and you could see the little guard bodies being tossed in the air.
Wow.
Now, I haven't played it yet. I'm tempted to. I'm tempted to give it a shot.
You should. And yeah, then I'll watch, better. Because I can't do the little jumpy things.
I paid for it. I'll play it if I want to.
I think you should. I'll watch because I like playing them, but I'm not good at jumping in the X, Y. No. I can't do Mario type games at all. All
right. Well, maybe this weekend I'll give it a shot.
Sure, why not? It's good to diversify your interests.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know what? We've been talking for just about an hour, so you know what that time is.
No.
It's the we've been talking for an hour time?
It is indeed.
Beer time!
Well, normally we take a music break at this time, but you know what? I think it's...
Hold on tight. You know she's a little bit dangerous.
It's time to play Guiding Elquin right here on the Jethel Silverwing Show.
Hold on tight.
Alrighty, it's time for Kiting Elkman, the 10 Questions of Doom.
And this Kiting Elkman is brought to you by Double Take Amber Ale. It's a head snapper.
Are you drunk?
No.
You're not quite drunk? I've only actually
I'm getting there.
I have actually only seen you drunk once.
When was that?
Oh, it was like the first year I was here. You were bombed out of your mind.
What the hell was I drinking?
I don't know. But you were drunk.
I need to find that out again.
No, you were drunk, and the sad thing about it is you found out at that point that drunk women do not turn me on. Matter of fact, I set you down and it's like, sorry, honey. You were all over me. And I'm just like, no, sorry.
I don't even remember it.
That does not turn me on in the least. So luckily, that's been like the only time you've been drunk around me.
That takes a lot to get me drunk.
All right, so we have 10 questions of doom. Actually, I think Tim and Kitty were over that time, but oh well.
Maybe we're drinking wine. I don't know.
Maybe it was your birthday or something. I don't know.
You're getting caught on the tangents now. The rest of us want to hear about Kiting Elquin, so get on with it.
Right, Kiting Elquin. All right, today's question. Today's subject is dwarves.
Oh, good lord. Dwarves. So much misinformation going on around dwarves.
I know.
Let's hear it.
Now, some of these are easy, some of these are hard. Some of them, neither one of you are going to get. But what we have here, we got 10 questions. The amount of questions that Elquin and, assisted by Brass, get correct is the amount of tells I want to receive. For example, if she gets 5 correct, I want 5 tells being sent to me, and the 5th person to send me a tell will receive an item from the swag box. Swag box. Yes. So let's see here. I'm going to clear my chat text so I can get a good view on who is actually sending me a tell for this. Let's see. So we have 10 questions. Are we ready, Elquin?
I guess.
Are we ready, Brass?
So, Elquin. If you don't know the answer, make shit up, and I will back you up all the way.
Okay, thanks. Good. All right. I'll go that way.
Okay, here we go. Who is the god of dwarves and ale?
Brel.
Correct. What race currently inhabits Kaladin?
Kobolds.
Correct. What feature is the dwarves' pride and glory?
Their beard.
Correct.
So far, you're doing well.
So far, very well.
I'm an honorary dwarf. Okay.
What dragon ate Cheez-It during an episode of the Far Back Weather Report with the Drunken Dwarf?
Aww. Wasn't it Nagethon?
No, sorry. All right, let's see here. Once consisting of all dwarves, what clan is in charge of Kinos' Trade Skill Guild?
Iron Toe.
Nope, sorry.
What?
Nope. You're wrong, I'm sorry. You said Iron Toe. All right, let's see here.
Iron Forge.
Too late, sorry.
Fair, I did say it!
Yeah, you said it too late, I'm sorry, no. All right, let's see.
Cruel.
It's kind of like the Christmas episode of Kiting Elquin. You got them all right on the second try. What race is Brass's husband?
Ogre.
Nope.
What? He's not an ogre?
Well, it depends.
Primarily he's a troll.
Yes.
Not an ogre.
Indeed. Okay. Yeah.
Moving on.
Ranger.
Does he bathe? Come on.
All right.
He does if he wants to sleep with me.
Oh, my God. Nice. Okay. I didn't know that. I thought he was an ogre.
No, sorry. Okay. Nanosophobia is the fear of what?
What?
Nanosophobia is the fear of what?
Something small.
Little.
Germs? No, that would be...
No, sorry.
That wasn't my answer. I was convincing.
Okay, I tell you what. I'll give you one more chance, and you can confer with Brass on this.
Brass.
Nanosophobia.
I think he's making it up.
I am not making it up. I look up my questions.
I bet you do. What you do is you'll find that you'll go on Wikipedia, and it'll be listed there, all right.
I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not quick enough either.
Okay, so do we have another guess, or...?
No, not from me. Right. But I'm not even sure exactly how you're spelling that, or I could make a stab at it.
Yeah, you just want to know how to spell it so you can look it up on Wikipedia.
No, you'd be able to hear me typing, remember?
Okay.
Yeah, spell it.
N-A-N-O-S-O-phobia. Nanosophobia.
I still can't even think of that.
Okay, I'm going to have to pass
on. Little Mechanical Men?
No, sorry. Okay, number 8.
And what does this have to do with dwarves?
Well, it's because it's going to have to be... You know that Nano is small, so it's got to be something about, you know, fear of dwarves or midgets or tiny people or something like that, right?
I'm moving on.
Right now.
We will discuss the answers after we're done. Okay. Billy Barty, famous dwarf actor, played Screwball in what movie? Billy Barty is a famous dwarf actor.
Oh.
He played Screwball in what movie?
Screwball.
It's on the edge of my brain.
He looks like. I've seen him in a lot of things.
I can't think of the movie. I should know it, but I can't think of it. Pass.
Did you want to make a stab at it at least? You're looking it up, I know it.
No, I'm not.
I know.
Then say it.
Wait. I keep trying to figure it out here. It's the big red guy, Legend.
Correct.
Which was a really crappy movie.
Okay. Anyway.
I love that movie.
It took me a long time because I've seen the guy in so many movies.
He is a famous dwarf actor.
I knew that was one of my favorite movies.
And that's the problem, he's been in like 150 frickin' movies.
Alright, moving on. We will discuss the answers later. According to thebrass.com, the pen is mightier than the sword, but what is stronger?
I haven't been to Brass's site in a while.
That's right, because I haven't updated it for a while.
You haven't updated it for over it. You haven't updated it since 2010.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. But you can tell her if you'd like.
Yes.
The axe.
Your axe, yes.
Correct. All right, let's see here. Some dwarven traditions say that the style of beard indicates what?
The type of family, the family that they come from.
The clan, correct.
The clan family.
Okay, so let's see here. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
That's correct. The most in a long time.
That's quite a bit. So let me just send till now.
Usually I'm stuck at 7, no matter what I do.
Okay, so you can click on my name and send a tell. I'm looking for number 8, who will receive a item from the swag bag. While we're doing that, we will go over the questions. The god of ale, of course, is Brel. Mm-hmm. The race that currently inhabits Kaladin, which was the the ancient home of the dwarves. Kobolds currently inhabit that. What feature is
the bugbear? To be fair, lots of things live there.
Oh yes,
there's kobolds and bugbears
and mushrooms and.
Well, but it's primarily
there's a bunch
the
of ratty bongas there too.
It's primarily the kobolds.
Indeed.
Okay, so what feature is the dwarf's pride and glory? The beard, of course. The greatest insult and shame that a dwarf can have is having their beard cut off.
That's for sure.
All right. Once consisting of all dwarves, what clan was in charge of Kinos' trade skill guild, Iron Forge, not Iron Toe?
I was thinking of the bar. I spent a lot of time in the bar in the tavern called Iron Toe.
Perfectly understandable.
Iron Toe East, yes, and there was a dwarf in EQ1 named Iron Toe.
Iron Toe that you had to go and
it was for the Ranger's Quest, wasn't it?
Drinks too, and
oh, for the Rain Caller.
Yes,
for the Rain Caller.
I spent
That's
a lot
right.
of time there with him.
Brass's husband's primary character is a troll. Sorry, not in, you were thinking of Den Mother. Den Mother's husband is an ogre.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, us practical types are attracted to the big uglies.
Nanosophobia is the fear of dwarves.
What? Yeah,
okay.
Are you serious?
I am.
Because Nano is small, we knew that, but.
I knew that.
What part of that means dwarf. Or midget or whatnot?
Yeah.
Right. So it's dwarf, midget, gnome. But
so
according
it's not
to
necessarily just the fear of dwarves, it's the fear of small people.
Let's see, nanosophobia is a specific phobia, an irrational fear of contracting a disease. What is this? No, that isn't right.
Aha!
That's nosophobia.
Oh, you're right. Nanosophobia, not nosophobia. God.
Well, no wonder I had a problem. I knew that one. I have all sorts of useless facts in me head, just nothing that's ever going to win me prizes.
So that's the wrong phobia for dwarves?
No. Nanosophobia is the fear of dwarves.
Fear of dwarves or small people?
Dwarves or gnomes, and I was looking for dwarves. Moving on.
Did you see how he shoves this underneath the carpet?
And you, hell,
he should be a politician.
You said clockwork, so I don't want to hear it. All right, let's see here. What was
I was thinking like nanotechnology?
No. Billy Barty played Screwball, the dwarf, in the movie Legend, which was a very good movie, by the way. If you didn't like Legend, then you haven't seen the director's cut. You need to see the director's cut if you didn't like the movie. Because the director's cut is much better.
You rerun the Freeport Quest, I'll watch frickin' Legend. We'll compare notes later.
I love Legend. You don't like Legend?
Oh, God. Legend?
I don't like Tom Cruise.
No, trust me, the cutting, the editing, the acting, it's all better in the director's cut. Trust me on this.
Yeah, that's the one that was released in England.
Mm-hmm.
The English version.
The European release.
Well, European, English, whatever.
Okay. According to Brass.com, the pen is mightier than the sword, but not me axe. That is on the banner at thebrass.com.
Indeed. So now you're making me feel guilty for not updating the
Yeah, because thing. I would have known that if...
You're a busy dwarf.
I was visiting your site again, which mm-hmm. I haven't because, well, no new comics.
Time. Okay, so let's see here. Some dwarven traditions. What's the style of beard indicates clan and status. So the longer the beard... the more status you have, and of course the style in which it's parted or braided would be clan. So there we go. So we have eight, right?
So let's much see. Wiser now.
Aye. So let's see. Who wins? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And that would be Killara of the Permafrost server. Killara of the Permafrost server. Now, Killara, what I want you to do is I want you to send me a message on the in-game chat, or not chat, sorry, in the in-game mail with your real life mailing address, so I can send you an item from the Swag Boss, Killara from the Permafrost server. Killara, congratulations.
Well done.
Well done indeed, yes. Well done. Now we're going to take a music break. And I have a brand new song. I do indeed.
Oh, terrific.
I have a brand new song. It's actually just a rewriting of the children's classic, The Cat Came Back. The Cat.
Uh-huh.
But I Narathianized it.
Looking forward to that, then.
I Narathianized it, and it's set to the music of The Bitch Came Back. God, I can't think of who does that one. Let me look it up real quick. It's actually just a rock version of The Cat Came Back, but they're talking about some girl that won't leave him alone. Who is that? Theory of a Dead Man sings that one. So we're going to go ahead, and we're going to take a music break. The Cat Came Back. Coming on here, we're going to be right back, and we're going to talk about other things, including dungeons.
Oh, terrific.
With the Dwarven Overlord, Brass. We'll be back in about 10 minutes.
The cat came back the very next day. The cat came back. We thought he was a goner. Yeah, the cat came back. He just would stay away. Don't you know the cat came back? Yeah, I'm walking down the alley and I hear rustling sounds. Look over my shoulder and there's no one around. Could it be the wind blowing leaves from a tree? Or could it be a gang of bandits coming for me? From out of the shadows it came like a flash. From behind some boxes came this cute little cat. I gave it some milk and I turned to go home. But now the damn kitty just won't leave me alone. The cat came back the very next day. The cat
to stay your way. Don't you know the cat came back?
Here in for a dragon rain last Saturday night. But it didn't prove to be a challenging fight. I drew my sword and got knocked to the ground. But from around the corner came familiar sounds. From out of the shadows it came like a flash. Leaping on the dragon came this cute little cat. He scratched and pounced and clawed at his eyes. And the kitty one and scampered off with our prize.
The cat came back the very next day. Oh, the cat came back. We thought he was a goner. Yeah, the cat came back. He just wouldn't stay your way.
Hey, take a hint. Leave when I put you out.
Hey, little kitty. Hey, little kitty.
But you just sit there and pout.
Just can't stay away.
The cat came back the very next day. The cat came back. We thought he was a goner. Yeah, the cat came back. He couldn't stay away.
He doesn't get it. Don't you know the cat came back?
Sundays ago, there was a boy, his obsession was Knowles. He wouldn't stop his questions, I wanted to scream. When I couldn't take no more, he disappeared from the scene.
From out of the shadows, it came like a flash. Where once stood the boy was this cute little cat. They saw him by the river next to gurgling sounds. Now they dredge the river for a boy that's drowned. The cat came back the very next day. Oh, the cat came back. We thought he was a gunner. Yeah, the cat came back. He just couldn't stay away. Don't you know the cat came back? The cat came back the very next day. Oh, the cat came back. We thought he was a gunner. Yeah, the cat came back. He just couldn't stay away.
Alrighty, we have returned. Are you still with us, Brass?
Certainly am.
Alrighty.
Where else would I go?
Home to your ghosts.
Not yet. Not yet.
Do they like greet you at the door?
Well, not at the door. They're in their little paddocks, of course. But yes, they always greet me when I get home on the off chance that I'm coming out to give them some extra food.
Ah, I see. So it's not like our dog, where it's just like,
no,
oh,
we do have four dogs as well. So, yes.
Okay. So you get the old, oh, we thought you'd never come back kind of treatment.
Yes. We thought you was dead. Yeah, we get that a lot.
Speaking of pets. Some of you may have heard at the end of The Cat Came Back, a little meow. And that meow is from our cat Mario, who unfortunately passed away last week. He was a good little kitty. He was a good kitty. Pretty sure he had an aneurysm or something like that. Yeah. Or something, we don't know.
Yeah, well, how old was he?
Hon, how old was he?
About 14.
Oh, that's a good long age for a cat, though.
Well, we got one that's worse. She's 18. She's the one that's been in my shirt when I say there's a cat in my shirt.
Oh, God. Mao is going to outlive us all.
I swear.
But, you know... Yeah, we saw it coming, though. We knew he was on the way out.
He was starting to have problems. Before Christmas, we had to make little kitty diapers for him.
Yeah, he was becoming incontinent and lethargic. He didn't want to go anywhere. Just in his little kitty bed, and that's it.
Well, that or on the couch with us. He was still eating and peeing and pooping and purring and wanting affection, and he had to be with us, and, you know. It's just that he would just stand up to go pee. He didn't know where he was. Or he thought he was close enough for the cat box or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, animals, they think of these things very differently from how we do anyway. And all you can do is give them a good life for as long as you can. Yeah. And then bid them a fond farewell.
I would gander to say that we made his last days comfy. And we love him very much. And he died in Eric's arms.
Mm-hmm.
That was
the hard part.
All
you can do.
He was home alone. I had to race home from work in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't quite know what to do.
Yeah. But I can see him now. He has gone to kitty heaven and is coming out of the mist to be pounced savagely by his brother, who died a few years ago. He's going along going,
"Hey, what's this place? Gaps! Rascal!"
They were the Twinkie Bandits.
The Twinkie Bandits.
When we had them only for like a couple months. They were still young kittens. And I bought a box, some Twinkies, because they were on sale. I usually don't buy them for Eric. And I started getting on Eric's case. He was like six, so about six, about leaving Twinkie wrappers in the living room. And he swore up and down it wasn't him, you know? But it's like, well, where are these Twinkie wrappers coming from? So one morning I walk down the hall and I can see into the kitchen. And on the kitchen table is the box of Twinkies standing up and open at the end. And there's Rascal laying in front of the Twinkie box while his brother's on the other side, standing up on his hind legs, reaching into the box to grab a Twinkie. As soon as he gets it, he takes off to the living room, and his brother follows him. And I follow them. And underneath the recliner in the living room that was propped open, underneath it was the both of them with their Twinkie stash. There was wrappers, a couple other Twinkies, and they were surrounding this one Twinkie, looking at each other like, who's going to take the first bite? And I lift up the thing, and they look at me like, oh no, the jig is up. And I'm thinking to myself, you guys are smarter than what you're leading on to. And after that, they never really pulled anything like that, because I guess they figured I was on to them, you know? Yeah, we got to act like cats. We can't make them think we're really smart here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they were the Twinkie Bandits.
Yeah.
Interesting choice of snack for a cat.
I don't know what they wanted. I guess maybe it was the cream filling.
I guess so.
I don't know. That is weird.
I don't know. And their other favorite thing was to both sleep in the sink in the bathroom. So when you walked in there and turned on the light, you'd be greeted by these furry faces staring up at you like they're smiling, and the purrs would just fill the room. They'd purr so loud and so hard. It was like, "Hi, Mom, we're in the sink. Purr."
Don't turn it on.
Don't turn it on. We're happy. They just fill the sink. They quit sleeping in there when they got too big, but up to that point, they would fill that sink with both of their little bodies.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, yeah. So, we miss them both.
Oh, indeed.
One of a kind.
So, are you getting a new cat to replace?
Well, we'll wait. We'll see what happens. It's like we really weren't planning on Hobbs, but the opportunity came around.
Nobody plans on really getting them. They adopt us when we're not looking.
Mm-hmm. So,
well, Hobbs is different. He's a Bengal, and I've been wanting a Bengal for a very long time, and I've been watching the Northwest Bengal Rescue, mm-hmm. and he showed up, and I thought, I'm going to try. He just seems about right, and I had to drive halfway between here and Oregon to get him. They did a... In the Bengal Rescue, they will do...
background checks and stuff.
Well, besides that, it's like a... What do they... you take the cat so far and pass it off to the next one, like a relay. That's it.
Right.
Like,
oh, right.
So they relayed him up out of Oregon
hmm.
to Chehalis. So I drive... Well, got our friend Becky drove me down. And her daughter. So, yeah. And he's a character and a half.
Oh, yeah. The unfortunate thing about Bengals are they're not cuddle kitties.
No, but he likes affection.
Mm-hmm. Until
in his own way.
Until he's had enough. But he does enjoy a good game of cat butt. He's up on his cat tree, 7 feet in the air. I just reach up, grab his ass, and shake it, and go, cat butt! And he tries to claw me, and so he's playing, of course. He's just patting my hand, and so he goes, no! That's my butt! And it's funny.
He walks up the railing.
And then, yeah, he walks the banister.
Alright, so, now, cat butt. This is a game that you clearly invented.
Yes, he has.
And he loves it.
Alright.
Grabs the cat's butt, shakes it, and yells, cat butt.
Okay. You really need more to do in your spare time. Oh my.
Well,
so how's your new job, sir?
I'm loving it, actually.
Are you?
I gotta tell you, I couldn't have lucked out more. I have a job now that it's 8 to 5. No weekends, no holidays.
Good Lord, I'll trade ya.
It's paid holidays, and I earn vacation time. Well, it's called personal time off. It's not really called vacation.
Right.
So, like, every pay period, I earn another, 6 hours. And I can use that 6 hours if I'm sick or if I want to take a week off or something, And I got to say, I'm working with a great team. A guy named Derek that I'm working with, he's 21 years old. And just as wacky as I am, we get along great.
Ah, good.
And they both do Christopher Walken impressions.
We do Christopher Walken impersonations. And guys, seriously.
Oh, that's grand.
Actually, today
can
we...
Can you picture him and somebody else doing Christopher Walken at the same time? To each other.
Dueling Walkens is what it...
Video or it didn't happen.
Well, unfortunately, if I take video in... would have to do it on lunch break or something like that. If I actually take video... at work, I get fired.
Oh, indeed. No. You definitely have to do it outside of work, but I'm sure you get a couple of minutes before or after lunchtime, as you mentioned.
Yeah,
that's
we can do
your challenge for the week. Sometime during lunch, you and him have to record this on your phone of you guys doing dueling walk-ins.
Actually, something we invented today was actually Christopher Walken meets Bill Clinton.
Really?
So who he was doing is Christopher Walken, and I was doing Bill Clinton. I'm like, Christopher, I'm telling you, Monica Lewinsky, don't do it. He's like, but Bill, she come over my house, bottle of wine, what's a man to do? Christopher, don't do it.
Okay, that's your challenge for the week. You got to get one of these on video, on your camera, and upload it.
I will do my best.
Okay.
God, you want me to redo the Freeport thing? You want me to post the Bill Clinton and Christopher Walken thing?
Well, we got to keep you busy so that you're not playing cat butt all the time.
Oh, my cat butt is fun.
To ask questions.
You know what's funny is I keep telling him he's gonna get pissed at you and he'll get you.
Wow.
So he does it off and on. He'll pounce across the couch or something. I mean, this cat can leap from 6 feet away from the floor up to the very top of this cat tree that we've got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, hell, he leaps up to the top of the refrigerator. The cat can leap 7 feet in the air. We love it.
Yeah. Well, good.
He's very pretty.
He's very good boy.
We call him Dr. Hobbs. He's a doctor of purology.
Oh, yes.
And you know what? He kind of looks like Tabitha the cat, who is in Eldar Grove that I'm looking at right now.
Oh.
I'm going to hail Tabitha the cat. Hi there.
I don't think Tabitha is a Bengal.
Well, similar. But anyway.
We We digress. What we're supposed to do next on the checklist?
Clorny would like to know, Brass, what's the deal with a Coldane being bald and beardless?
There's no accounting for Coldane. And, you know, Frostbite and all that, I have no idea. It's a darn shame. Maybe it's a congenital sort of baldness thing that covers the chin and the top of the head.
I think maybe that it's so cold there that their hair froze, and they didn't let it thaw out, and they bumped it, and it just cracked and fractured off.
Very likely. I mean, look at their skin color, too. They are just a little on the odd side.
Doofu goes there, and he's like, oh, for crying out loud, get some sun! Them pale pansies! Alright, let's see. What else is on my list here? Storm Tower Isle, we get rid of that. I tried a mercenary.
Mm-hmm.
The cleric was very helpful, except when I went on the boat!
No.
Elquin claims that she was able to summon her mercenary on the boat.
I could.
I could not.
Huh.
And then what happened?
I died!
Oh, dear.
All right, so folks in the channel, were you able to summon your mercenaries on that betrayal boat? Elquin thought that she could.
I thought I did. I thought I zoned in and brought him up. I don't remember now.
Selena.
I mean, I got it done, and it was like, okay, I'm through with this. Great.
Selena from Everfrost, who is also from Zam.com, says no. Kalara says, before you fight, summon. I tried that. I could not do it.
I could have swore I had him with me on the second time. I thought I had him with me.
Maybe it was a bug.
I don't know.
Maybe you weren't supposed to.
I got through on a bug then.
Perhaps it was a bug.
I don't know.
A bug? What perhaps. Kind of bug? A big bug, that's what.
But then I have the warder, who won't shut up either.
Yeah,
the ogre warder from Gorwin, and
for being a big dumb ogre, he's awful talkative.
Once he starts casting wards on you, he won't stop. He just keeps casting wards on you. I have to dismiss him and then wait 2 minutes and bring him back because he will wear all his mana down to nothing. I mean, God bless his little heart, but damn, shut up. Stop now, casting! I'm okay now!
Mm-hmm.
I'm warding the group. No! Stop!
Stop with the warding!
Look! A squirrel!
Squirrel!
So we're going to talk about dungeons.
We will. In a minute.
In a minute.
When he's done talking about other things.
In a minute!
He's okay. Adding more things to his pretend list.
No, I actually did have a list this week.
Did you?
Let's see here. Those solo missions in Thurgadin. I mean, not Thurgadin. Yeah, Thurgadin. The Coldane solo missions that I had such a hard time with before.
It's giant.
I finally completed one.
Yay!
Wow.
Yep.
You got your mitigation up.
Yes. I don't want to... I believe it was Trista who upgraded my armor for me.
What's your mitigation now?
Critical
mitigation.
Find it. Where is it? Miscellaneous? No. Defense? Okay, my critical mitigation is 105.2.
That's not bad.
Regular mitigation is 5,880.
No, it's the critical mitigation you have to focus on.
Okay, then it is 105.2.
It's not bad.
And I believe, and please forgive me if I'm mistaken, I believe it was Trista from the Antonia Vale server that upgraded my armor to the Forest Stalker's armor. That's the Rygor stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Hang on a second, I'll look at my stuff.
I got everything except for the chest piece, which is actually dropped, so I would actually have to go and get it.
I was lucky and I got it. Yeah, Forest Stalkers.
Yeah.
Now we got to work you up to getting some adornments for that.
I guess I'm actually Fallen, or I should say one of Fallen's many alts, does Enormance, and gave me a bunch. So I have
ability. The yellow ones. You need to work up some shards for those.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't have any yellow ones. I do have some white ones going on.
I can make
okay,
those
for Trisha is saying it was not Trista. Well, someone freaking did it for me. I can't remember who it was now. Damn.
Could it have been our lizard friend?
Lizard friend?
Yeah, she plays a female, or he plays a female lizard in the guild. Has many alts.
No. Therius.
Therius.
True North, so that would have been...
But not the Rygor.
God, I cannot remember the freaking name. Okay. Yeah. Anastaria, that's it. So that's not... So this isn't the Rygor armor?
Well, link one.
Alright, hold on a second. Okay, it says the names are close, so it's easy to confuse them. Okay, so that's the Forest Stalker's mauling is what I have now.
Okay.
We'll just bet that he can't... Jethel can't even identify what underwear he put on this morning.
Jethel doesn't wear underwear.
Okay,
now, what I'm going to link is the Rygor stuff.
I see. Okay, so I have the Thurgadin set, then. Alright. Oh, the lacerating. Alright.
That's the difference.
Okay.
But still, what you got is good.
Okay, so, yeah, the upgrade did work. I was able to do the solo mission, which I had such a crap time with before. But it works fine now, and actually the guy barely touched me. I had a problem with the last guy on the mission. No, it came down... It was me or him. I mean, I think I won with like 4%. But I was able to get him.
Oh, well.
Okay, and...
You're moving up in the world.
Yes. It's not often that I do upgrade my stuff because I'm not a raider.
I'm not a raider either, but
I'm
capable.
I do subscribe to the notion that if it dies before it gets to me,
who needs a tank?
Who needs a tank or armor?
Or armor?
Jethel's going to go around naked from now on. Which brings really? Me to when are we getting rid of the Grunderwear?
Maybe never.
Or at the very least. We need shorts and swimsuits. Why not? We can swim in the ocean. Why do we have to do it in our armor? We're rusting our armor!
Well, all I can say is that if you're willing to spend money on it in the marketplace, why not? It's like going to buy a swimsuit these days or a bikini. It costs you more than a winter coat.
Why don't they put swimwear in the station cache?
All right. Okay. I will say this.
People running around in their... I'm
just skivvies.
...whitey whiteys.
Yeah, and there's a problem with
that. I don't
want
to picture that.
Hey. EverQuest 1, Dark Elf Girls had a red bikini.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're afraid trolls are going to wear, Speedos.
Oh, that would be
horrible. A troll in a Speedo.
Oh.
Or an ogre in a Speedo, which, I mean, they may as well be wearing nothing.
By that time, it's a thong.
I'm wearing this thing, but it's riding up a little.
Oh! Oh, dude!
We don't need to see that.
We always used to make jokes about me husband's character, Brack, right? You know, you might get stuck in the crack of Brack if you're not looking.
Wrong.
I know, right? You don't want that guy having access to a tangerine Speedo.
Not right. It just ain't right. Alright, next on my notes, let's talk about dungeons.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. Dun 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 dun.
Wow, right. They come with their own theme music now.
Yes, let's talk about dungeons.
Tonight on the Nettlesome Show, we talk about dungeons.
dungeon creators. Where do they get their stuff? Where do they get their ideas? We're going to find out with Brass. Director of Global Community Relations for LDL Entertainment. Here we go!
You know, this is the only job in the world where you can talk about your flaming addiction and have fun doing it.
Next week on the Deathless Silverwing Show, we talk about heroin and cocaine. Where do you get it? Where do you get it cheap? How do you know it's not baking powder?
Now, in that, you'll need a different sort of expert, because I would have no frickin' idea.
Next week, our guest will be Twitchy. Twitchy the Rotunga.
Oh, man. All right, so, Jeffel, have you built your own dungeon yet?
I have not, but I have ideas.
That doesn't count
yet. They're dangerous ideas.
What about you, Elquin?
Yes, I have.
Yes, she has.
It's called Arena from the Twilight Zone.
But before you talk about the Arena from the Twilight Zone, I just want to finish my thought.
Not about
cocaine and heroin. I have not done my dungeon yet, but I have an idea. In my dungeon, the NPCs will be swearing up a storm. You aggro them, they're going to go, "Holy shit, how'd you get in here?" And I kind of wish you can make them talk to each other, you know, idle chat.
Indeed. I mean, there's a tremendously long list of requests for enhancements that have been submitted to the EQ2 team for things that they'd like to see. I mean, some people want some incredibly elaborate scripting access, which of course would be almost impossible to bug test and that sort of thing, but yeah. They're certainly taking these suggestions, and I submit my own suggestions too, not that they pay any attention to me at all, but there's so much that you can do with the Dungeon Maker thing, and I hope that they keep developing it fairly heavily, because they could do a lot more than what we've got now.
All right, Elkman, tell us about the arena from
the Twilight Zone.
Well, right now, it's first in action recent and first in style recent.
Ooh.
It's layer of scale. There's the exit is next to the entrance. You can get about 71 marks out of it. You could solo it. There's only a couple places that you'd probably have to be careful and possibly run an avatar that heals. And there's three separate areas you can go. So if you don't have a lot of time, you can go in and just do one section of it and walk out with, you know, at least 20 marks. Or you could do the whole thing. The arena from the Twilight Zone, the reason why I called it that is it's arena, gauntlet, whatever. But all these different areas have different themes. And they were spirited here from other dimensions for your approval. We've got a narcissistic wren in there. How do you say that? Not the...
Hmm?
The dragon guy.
Narciss?
Yeah, well, Narcissus, but he's a... It's not a drake. What's the next one?
There's Wyvern?
Wyvern?
Yes. I can't say that right.
Wyvern.
It's pronounced a couple of different ways. I say it Wyvern. Some say Wyvern.
Wyvern. Well, anyway, he's narcissistic. And then we have a werewolf painter. And you're crashing the gallery. There's storylines behind it. You know, so it's not just hack and slash. You kind of feel your way through. There's a little book at the entrance to each area before you go in that gives you some idea what you're going to be facing.
Yes, definitely read the books.
And, of course, Anne hates the fact that I have curtains. And the mobs aren't placed right behind the curtains. They are pathing. So, you know, in the books I say you need to peek beyond the veils. So don't just charge through. I mean, peek behind the curtains so you know what's
right,
there.
Right.
So, anyway, I'm happy. It's in the overall style and action, I'm 5 and 6 in style and 6 in style and 5 in action. So it's been steadily climbing. So I think people are playing it and enjoying it. And that's the reason why I've done it.
Well, that's really good news.
I do kind of wish you could have, that you could do them without getting to level 20 first. So I would like to go to the Crushbone server.
Oh, come on. Now, Jeffel, you can get to level 20 in a day.
Yeah, but I want to check out your dungeon now!
Oh, well, so spend the day getting to level 20. What else have you got to do besides cat butt?
Bitch and complain!
Well,
I do.
There is that, and you're very good at it. You can always buy some XP potions, and then you'll get to level 20 in 2 hours or something.
And then I can, you know, post screenshots.
Well, I'll get my level. I'll get myself up to level 20 at least, and come over, or come over and get myself up to level 20 because I would like to see them. And there's some other dungeons out there that I'd like to see too.
Indeed, it would be really cool to run around and look at the good dungeons on all the servers. But you know, finding the good dungeons can be a little bit challenging. One of the things that I'd like to see as an enhancement request for dungeons or for Dungeon Maker is the ability to have a short descriptive section, even if it's only the same length as a tweet or something, so you can give people a brief idea of what your dungeon's about.
That would be nice.
If there's some sort of storyline going on, or if it's just a, you know, a grind fest. I've noticed a lot of people go back and rename their dungeons as, you know, quick in and out, 120 grind fest.
Yeah, indeed.
Okay,
and those are often very highly rated for style, no less, which really grates me. Because I can see, okay, sure, action if you like your mobs stacked four on top of each other and placed at, you know, precise intervals for the maximized amount of dungeon marks. I can understand why people want that, but for these to get top marks in style is just beyond me.
I don't understand it either, especially when it's the same mob over and over. It's another five gnolls. Oh, look,
it's
another five gnolls.
Yep,
oh,
yep.
Look.
Grind.
I've
seen a lot of people say that they, because right now we use a series, it's a like, right? You just hit like if you like the dungeon, or you leave it alone if you don't. And a lot of people have said, well, let's go back to the star system, but I'm not sure if that was any better, because then people would just give your dungeon a bad rating, like half a star or something, and give their guildmates' dungeons a five-star rating. I don't know what sort of system could be put in place that would give you something more realistic. And I know that that's one of the biggest complaints about people who have spent a tremendous amount of time. I mean, I like my dungeons. I think my dungeons are fairly decent. But there are some people on my server who have done some absolutely freaking incredible ones. And, you know, it bothers me that they're not getting the recognition that they deserve either. And I don't know what the perfect system is for a rating.
I don't know. That's why, you know, I started a thread on the forums. It's under General, and then down below you'll see Dungeon Maker. There's a section just to discuss Dungeon Maker. So
indeed.
I started a thread there that, you know, get your dungeon spotlighted on the Jethro Silverwake show. And
Wait. Must interrupt here, because Cheddarella just came up with the best idea ever. She says, I think there needs to be a mouse feedback system that shocks people when they dishonestly rate things. That would be freaking fantastic!
I like it.
I propose that to the dev team immediately.
I also do like, someone mentioned sorting by name. Danuska from the Crushbone server says sorting by name would be good, too.
That would be nice to be able to sort by name, or at least search by name. Or
a search by function would be terrific, especially once you get like a couple of dozen of those things.
Or if you're just looking for a friend's dungeon. You know, hey, it's called this. Well, I can't find the damn thing.
I wouldn't mind also seeing some sort of way to mark it as a favorite so you can pull it up later. Because sometimes I find these dungeons and run them and go, you know, that was pretty cool. But when I go back to find it again, unless I jot down every nuance about it, I have problems finding it again.
Right. Because what's number one in style may not be number one overall or whatever. So, I'll see. Well, it was this one, it was this style, it was made by this person. Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah. I mean, let's have a quick look here. If we're looking at layer of scale, I'm looking at the listings now on Crushbone where I play. And, you know, 120, 130, 150. Good Lord. I mean, I wonder how many they list here. I'm already up to 220 named dungeons.
Wow.
So how do you find them? It's really difficult.
Yeah.
I'd love to be able to make recommendations to my friends on, oh, here's a fantastic dungeon, you know, send to friend or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
It'd be recommend to some of them are so good.
All right, so we, if you would like us to feature your dungeon on the Deathless Liverwing Show, you can go to kithacore.org. And let me find the name of the post here. Dungeons. We have one there called Your Dungeon Here. You can go ahead and leave a comment. There's also a thread going in which forum, hun?
In the Dungeon Maker forum.
Yeah, it's easy to find. It's on the EQ2 forums. Real easy.
And I have like a template to fill out, you know, your name, what server you're on, what map you're using, the name of your dungeon. I mean, all the other little nuances that people might want to know, like, how many marks can I get? Can I solo it? You know, that sort of thing. How long might it take me to run this? I mean, is there a theme to it? You know?
Oh, indeed.
And it's been getting quite a bit of response. There's a couple pages to it, at least.
That's pretty neat. Now, the ones that you're featuring on kithacore.org, do people send you screenshots of their dungeons as well?
They can if they want.
Neat.
I mean, if you leave a comment under the Your Dungeon Here area, you are allowed to upload images, so you can do that. We do have some that we want to mention. Let's see here. Get the list out. Dungeon list for the show. There we go. Hun, do you want to go ahead and start?
Well, Carissa, am I saying her name right? Because you can read this.
Yep, looks right.
Is over on the GUX server, and she's got one called The Fellowship. She's using the Crushed Bone map. The theme is based on Lord of the Rings. It gives about 80 marks. You have to go through the whole thing to get out. I mean, sometimes having the exit at the entrance is preferable, especially if you try the dungeon, you go, really don't like this. If you just, you know, slash house and quit, you don't get any marks. But if the exit is there by the entrance, you can turn around and leave and still get marks for what you've done. So this is going to, you know, force you to go all the way through. So, but I think it's going to be interesting enough. She's really focused on using crafted furniture rather than the Dungeon Maker stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're familiar at all with Lord of the Rings, you should have no problem following the story. Now, there's a bigger write-up of what she's got for that dungeon in that forum on the EverQuest 2 forums in that thread. But her room layout, she's got 7 rooms. You start out at Bag End, and you end up in the forest fight. So you go through the Plancy Pony and Riverdale and stuff, so... if you're over on the GUX server, give that one a shot.
All right. Clorny, on the Oasis server, has a dungeon named the Leech Lair and is using the Mistmore maps. See, theme to the dungeon is Necromancy Research Center with orcs and werewolves guarding the... werewolves guarding and researchers are vampires.
Vampires.
It gives 94 marks. The names have flavor text. The exit is not at the entrance, so you're forced to go through. He says here it can be soloed if you're careful. And there are some rooms that he fully expects you to die in.
Now, what would a dungeon be without lots of opportunities for death?
Of course. So, lots of rest. So he recommends rest between pulls and bring a healer with you. Expect to die a lot, and there is a lot of social aggro. So, fair warning, if you go to...
That's an Oasis server, eh? I've got to get a character on all these different servers as well, so I can try these.
I was passed a note about the Foggy Bottom.
The Foggy Bottom.
Cheddarella from the Antonio Vale server. It's using a layer of scale... the fourth layout, she says it's the little layout, called Foggy Bottom. The theme to the dungeon, it is a Weather Mage's Abandoned Workshop. And there is a guidebook placed at the entrance for you to read.
And it looks like she's decorated it, too. Mm-hmm. We'll have to run that.
Yeah, we'll have to check that one out. We are on the Antonio Bale server, so we will check that out. Let's see. It should be 34 or 35 marks. Archaeologist dig team. There's only a few flavor texts due to some bugs. She didn't say what bugs, but let's see. Exit is not at the entrance. She says to make sure to read the guidebook at the entrance for clues and fun. She said is can be soloed if you're careful. Easily duoed. So there we go. That is Cheddarella, Antonio Bale server, and that is named Foggy Bottom.
I like the name of it.
The Foggy Bottom.
Do you want to do one, Linda?
Oh, sure. There's a whole long list here, so...
Carthington!
I think it's... Yeah, do that indeed. One. Yes, Carthington Severin has two dungeons, both on the Butcher Block server. One is called Queen of the Damned, and the other is Hall of Necromancy, and both use Mistmore maps. That's a really popular map set, I know that. Queen of the Damned offers you 265 marks, and it's inspired by the movie and book by the same name, of course. The boss mobs have flavor text, the exit is not at the entrance, and they say it took them 6 to 7 hours to create. 6 to 7 hours? How did you get the dungeon done so fast? You must have had hired help, I'm telling you. It says that they used the Dujhelm Sentinel, and that it can be soloed in about 2 hours.
Wow.
Now, it goes further to say that the zone is meant to be for those who don't mind a good challenge. That, in translated into regular text, means you're gonna die a few times.
Death yeah. is a bonus!
It could be a bit tricky, they say, but it's workable. Which also translated means you're gonna die. There are choke points if you have an unlucky pull, but nothing that you can't work through.
And
the point is to kill mobs hard and fast and die several times. Oh, wait. It says the original decorations are in the zone and only mobs were placed.
That's why they got
dead
so quick.
Yeah, indeed. And pulling can get you anywhere from 3 to 6 mobs at once. Now, just as an offside here, how many mobs, when you're soloing, how many mobs can you typically take?
In the dungeons, if I'm using the Wind Rider?
Because I find
six,
that 4 you
six,
can take.
Six is
a
hard.
Lot.
6 is really hard. I have to pace myself because the Wind Rider can heal and do damage. So I have to really pace myself as far as, you know, using the heals and my damage spell and just auto-attacking. Because after 6, I have no mana left.
Indeed.
I tried using the Drachnid. I can't remember what it's called. Widow Mistress.
Yeah, Drachnid Web Spinner, I think.
The Web Spinner. I tried that in Elkman's Dungeon. I couldn't do more than 2 mobs at a time.
But she's pretty brutal. She's really good as a secondary character. You know, I don't often find I'm in a dungeon where I need a healer as a secondary, but a caster as a secondary is very valuable.
Yeah.
Anyhow, just to finish off Carthington's dungeon list here, he says his other dungeon, Hall of Necromancy, gives 100 marks, boss mobs have flavor text, the exit is not at the entrance, and took 3 hours to create. Tested with the same avatar that he used before, it can be soloed in about 45 minutes. And they say the zone is meant to be more fun and entertaining than it is challenging, but that it's not too terribly easy, which means you're going to die a lot. The beginning part of the zone is the challenging part of the zone, and where you're going to die a lot. They said they got the idea of putting an alternate form of themselves as the head boss.
So if you're upset with his dungeons, you can fight through and kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I know that there's a dungeon on Crushbone where a real smartass who likes to inhabit the channel or the 1-9 chat put in all the names of his fellow 1-9 chat people who drive each other crazy, so you can go in and kill them all. It's very cathartic.
That's good!
Yeah.
Alright, let's see here. What else we got? Fancy, on the Unrest server, has one named the Museum of Mob Art. Using the Mistmore map, this dungeon contains exhibits, including... contains exhibits, including the breathtaking Hall of Fire and Ice, the mysterious Tomb of Sand, and the enchanting Toporaries of New Terneria, and much, much more. A truly unique dungeon that does not rely heavily on DM furniture, uses over 1,600 furniture items. This dungeon was created using the housing layout editor. Ooh, must be nice.
Extensively, yeah. It gives, they really put a lot of work in that one.
It gives 76 marks. Exit is not at the entrance. It took them well over 150 hours to make.
That sounds like
we are going to have to check that one out.
Together dungeon.
Tested it using various avatars, and it can be soloed. Takes about 40 minutes, depending on what avatar, and about 25 minutes with a group.
Let's see. Scamper on the Freeport server presents Ambushed in capital letters.
Wait. Got to do that correctly. Oh. Ambush!
That fits.
Lord, he's such a show-off, though, isn't he?
I know.
She
You'll
loves
find
me
it
for
under
it.
The Mistmore maps. He says the theme is what the name says. There's many mobs you can't see until they aggro you. And there's many places that you just don't pull, but you plow through them.
Kind of like walking through my house at night.
He built it for kills and actions, and you will find lots of stuff to kill, with many close calls, and the feeling of a sense of victory after you've overcome all the hardships in the dungeon, which is why the exit is not at the entrance in this one. Wait a minute. Yeah, the exit is placed at the entrance, sorry. So you can leave anytime you want. And you get a little over 200 marks with this. It took him about 2 days, or them, 2 days with playtesting. They soloed it with a Dread Knight and with a group. And he says it can be soloed, or they say that it can be soloed, just have some patience. The place does need heals if you wish to play without any deaths.
Finally an honest advertisement.
Jeff!
He does say it will take you about 2 hours to solo. There's a few simple pulls, many rares, and lots of station cache spawners. And sometimes going into a dungeon that has a lot of different mobs is more interesting than going into a dungeon that has gnolls, and another set of gnolls, and another... Anyway. And he's got 4 bosses. And I think last week I talked about where all the other bosses are in world that you can get besides the ones that you can claim and stuff.
Right.
And he used every type of effect object available in the game. Which means they're pumped up and bad. Badass.
Oh, very interesting. So and the next one that we're going to talk about is Kata from Permafrost has created Spiders versus Insects, a round map using one of the layer of scale maps. Now, if you're not familiar with a round map, it's one where you've blocked off the alternate entrances so that it makes sort of a circular track. That means that, the entrance is where the exit is, of course. And they say it offers a short, story-driven dungeon through mob names, flavor text, and objects which help to mark the pathway. It offers 75 marks. Many mobs have flavor text, so watch for that. And since it is a round dungeon, the exit is at the entrance. Says it took them a few evenings to create, and they did playtest it with a few different avatars. The Amygdalan Knight is preferred, and the default Drolvarg is slower. This can be soloed with one encounter being a little hairy, while other pulls are clean. Very hard to train the place down on yourself. Took them about 20 minutes to run it solo, and this is their 5th created dungeon, with their other 4 in the top 5 slots in the Hall of Fame listing on Permafrost. So it sounds like it might be something worth looking into.
Sounds good to me. Selena, from the Everfrost server, has created Keepers of the Ages using the Chardock map. This dungeon is based off a mud called Cavern of Ages. The story behind this dungeon tells a tale of the Keepers, who are the embodiments of various facets of the world. Death, fate, passion, time. There's quite a few Keepers, 11 in all. In the dungeon, the Keepers you see are projections of themselves, because really, killing time or death, that would be bad. And they surround themselves with like-minded fanatical creatures. It gives 110 marks. Exit is not at the entrance. Took 2 weeks to create. Let's see here. They play testing it using the Limbit Frost Fuse. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that one is either.
And her hubby used the Nightblood Scourge. We also tried the Widow Mage and Mystic Moppet. Can be soloed, but a few spots are dangerous. The first run through, you might earn a death or two. It takes about 45 minutes to run. Yeah, let's see here. There are more background information. And there's more information on the get the word out at the get the word out about your dungeon on the Deathless Silverwing show on the forums.
Yeah, she has quite a write-up that explains more about the mud that this is based off of.
Ah, grand.
Let's see, is it my turn or Linda's?
Well, yours. This is the last one, whoever wants to take it.
Yep. Okay. Go right ahead.
Pixie Wrath from the Freeport server has not one and not two, but three dungeons.
Dun, dun, dun.
Presenting for your approval, Delving into the Depths, Part 1, 2, and 3. They're using the Mistmoor map layouts. The theme behind the series of dungeons is based on orcs struggling to achieve eternal life with the help of their overseer, the Mistress.
Dun, dun, dun.
They wanted to build something that felt like a real dungeon with a story and plot twists. There are storyline books spread out through the dungeons with and flavor text on the mobs to help drive the story through. Part 1 offers about 102 marks, Part 2 offers 117, and Part 3, 150. When asked how much flavor text there is, the author said, "More than you can stand in certain rooms." So they're chatty. The exits, they're not at the entrance, because, to drive you through it. It took them about 25 hours to create the first one,
ooh,
35 hours for the second dungeon, and about 50-ish hours for the third dungeon that they've got. They play-tested it with the Windrider, the Bloodthorn Sentinel, and I can't pronounce the other Sentinel, but I... Darjum? Anyway. Basically healers and tanks, and it's soloable, but it's a challenge, and it's a well-balanced dungeon. Each dungeon takes about 40 to 50 minutes, with a group. And then it takes about 30 to 40% longer with soloing it. Now, the best part about this guy's dungeons, he's created trailers, little movie trailers that promote each one of the parts.
Nice.
And, hun, you could probably put a link on Kithicor. But if you go to YouTube and you look up Tommy the Greatest, TOMMYDA Greatest, and you can go there and watch the three trailers, which is very well done, I think. Nice, very nicely done for trailers.
I'm going to post a link to that YouTube channel on my Facebook and Twitter right now.
So not only did he spend a lot of time and creativity creating three different themed dungeons, he's got these incredible trailers. I mean, I want to go make a tune over on Freeport just to see this.
Oh, indeed.
So that's it for this week.
All right. So if you want us to mention your dungeon, your guild hall, your house, whatever, your RP tavern, on the Deathless Silverwing show, by all means, kithicor.org. And you can just leave me a message there, or demon@kithicor.org email.
Mm-hmm.
You can send me an in-game mail, Jethel on the Antonia Bale server. Kidnap Elquin and force us to do something on the show. No, that I think we all know by now, kidnapping Elquin is not a good way to get Jethel's attention. You'll end up dead.
Also, before we go,
yes.
I do need to ask you, Jethel, are you pleased about Erelisi coming back? I know that you've been agitating for that for some time.
Aha! They haven't announced it yet! You just told us inside information!
What are you talking about? She came back in that quest series.
Right, but she said she might be back soon. So you're saying...
Well, she shows up in the quest series. What do you think, man?
I know.
You have pictures of her on Facebook.
I do. So, can you tell us, is Illyrissi going to be a worshipable deity in EQ2.
You know, I could tell you if I had the faintest clue, but I actually don't know, which is terrible, isn't it? But I, you know, to be honest, because I'm a player as well, I tend to turn a blind eye to some of that development stuff, even when I do find out about it in advance, because I like to discover it as a player as well. I know that seems kind of weird, but no, I know about as much about it as you do, but I do remember as soon as that Quest series went live to bring Aralisi back, I thought, oh, Jethel will love this one.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
He drug his old roommates through it, and she was freaking out at the fact that, you know, she does this stuff to the altar, she turns around, and there's this...
The daughter of hate.
Daughter of hate standing there, the one who killed Aralisi in the first place.
Aye.
Oh my god!
She was freaking out because Sephissa, or I should say Darkwind, actually, was there for the Battle of Bloody Githicor at EQ1. She took part in the live event. So she turns around, there's a dark elf named the Daughter of Hate. No! Not again!
We got her through it.
So Clorny is saying that he wants the Nameless to be worshipable. Well, we already determined that the Nameless is Smedley. He is the first god of Norrath, I'm sorry.
Oh, Lord. We'll have to let him know about that at the next EQ2 monthly business meeting.
We did, actually. When he was on the show, we discussed the fact that... You know,
he's clearly the Nameless?
He is clearly the Nameless, because he is the first god of Norrath.
Well, that settles the mystery for us, then.
It's actually true, so, you know, hey...
All right, folks. I want to thank you all for tuning in this week. Brass, thank you so much for coming on. We love having you on.
Always grand to spend some time with you, even if you're yelling at us. Hey, with good reason. It's the interesting thing is that, you know, being a player myself, players get passionate. And if they did not get passionate, then the game would suck.
Okay,
so thank you for getting mad and caring.
Okay, so when I get up tomorrow, my account's not going to be banned.
No, why would we ban your account? You haven't done anything to violate terms of service.
You haven't abused
other people.
Okay, yes. but I do have rules. And one of my big rules for this show is if I go off on a rant, I have to come up with some sort of a plan for you guys to fix it. So here's what I said all along when I was bitching to Elkin about this.
Mm-hmm.
Make it so. Okay, there are some quests out there that actually have, you know, a little circle lit up on the ground or something like that. Oh, I'm supposed to go here. Make that on the boat. This is the general area you're supposed to get the Wraith Guard in. And then
Like the easy peasy MMOs where all the work's done for you. Weren't you just cursing that sort of MMO out earlier? I'm pretty sure you did. Without naming names of other MMOs, of course.
Of course not. But, you know, it's just, but that's the one area I had, you know, bitch time with.
What we'll do is we'll just have to make an in-game CNI dog that can do your thinking for you. Just kidding. Actually, it's interesting because every quest, any of the challenging quest series really do require a lot of work and fiddling about to learn to do properly. And believe me, my poor husband, I have dealt with him when he's been yelling much like you were when things aren't going quite well. It's that passion. And then, you know, of course he feels like king of the world when he finally overcomes whatever it was, but we certainly do sympathize with you.
Well, and if it's any a consolation, the boat one is the last really worst. You know.
Yeah, I saw that in the timeline at Zam.com. It's like, God, I'm almost to the end, for fuck's sake!
The rest of it, you know, I love the quest line.
Oh, yeah,
that's enough to make me, you know, betray... the reason why I betrayed a Freeport, because I knew something was coming, and it was worth it.
I loved the story.
That's so cool.
I followed the story every step of the way. I mean, yeah, the whole sneaking around thing in the instance of Long Shadow sucked.
Mm-hmm.
It sucked. I mean, as a ranger, I'm used to being able to sneak without things seeing me.
Well, it was not my favorite part, but I kept doing it until, you know, I could get through it. And bless the Delves, because, you know, they did, it gets supposed to get easier every time you go through.
Yeah.
I mean, their aggro range is supposed to decrease. How much, I don't know, but it was enough that I finally just plowed through it. You know,
yeah, it took me
a nosedive for the area I'm supposed to go to.
As we close in thought, I just want to remind you that, you know, sometime in the summer of this year, they've promised to bring out the Kenos revamp, so guess what? You can do it all over again.
No!
I will betray to Hollis!
And I got betrayed back to Freeport. I mean, to Kenos from Freeport.
But, you know, the thing is, I'm taking it that they will take any bugs or complaints or criticisms that came with the Freeport one to make the Kenos changeover smoother.
Mm-hmm.
So, there we go.
Indeed.
All right, folks.
See what happens.
Yes. All right, folks. So, like I said, this weekend I will try the boat thing again. Actually, can I do it with Kenos alignment?
No.
Ah, damn. I was going to say, I can probably sneak to the person I need to go see.
They won't talk to you.
Ah, crap. Okay,
you have
so,
to be Freeport, Ian.
All right. This weekend, I'll try it one more time.
Watch the tweets and the Facebook posts. You'll find out.
I'll be ready to duck under my desk with a shield over my head, just in case worst comes to worst.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to ketthecore.org/social. Follow Jethel on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Foursquare, Get Glue, and trust me, if this doesn't work out, you're going to hear about it.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, now I'm nervous.
And then I will burn Freeport to the fucking ground. All right, Linda.
Challenge accepted.
All right, Linda, thank you so much for coming on. We love you to pieces.
Thank you both again. Always great to talk with you.
If you're ever up in the Seattle area, we're going to have you up here. We're going to go to the AFK Tavern.
Indeed, that sounded like such a grand place.
It was great.
It had wonderful mead.
We haven't been there since, but you know that's because of the holidays and stuff. We just didn't have the money. But I'm wanting to go back again, and it would be a great excuse to go back to have you with us.
And Viking's blood mead.
I've had that stuff before. It's terrific.
It's good.
All right.
Smooth.
All right, folks. Thank you very much for tuning in.
All.
This has been the Jethel Silverwing Show for the 24th of January, 2012, the year of doom. And we'll be back next week. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Well, that's it. You've wasted another night listening to the Jethel Silverwing Show. I'm your host, Jethel Silverwing.
I'm Elquin Jenna.
I'm the Drunken Dwarf!
And I'm Cheesy Nibbleman!
This show is brought to you by Online Gaming Radio. Our technical advisor is Spike Link Death. Facts and Intelligence brought to us by The Grassy Knoll. The Jethel Show is produced by a 4-pound jar of jelly beans, 2 badgers, a package of expired Twinkies, a sack of walnuts, Biff, the weird guy who hands out free candy behind the school in a long trench coat down the street, and a small rock.
Yay, rock!
Be sure to catch the show every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and 2 a.m. in the U.K.
There's a 2 a.m.? Why doesn't anyone tell me these things?
So, for myself, the Drunken Dwarf, Cheez-It, and my love, Elkun Jenna, keep your arrows in the air and your feet on the ground.